Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Boundaries are good, but how do we establish them and implement them in our lives? Hey everyone, it is great to have you here with us. I am Campbell. Welcome to the program. In the studio, I have Rhonda here, and we're continuing our article on boundaries. What are some thoughts you have about this article so far, Rhonda?
I find it very interesting and very helpful. It articulates some things that I've been thinking about. I sometimes get distracted at work because I have maybe too much free time, or somebody I'm working with, I might really respect them, but I didn't get the clear message about when it should be finished. Right. So I tell you, Campbell, it's so tempting to switch on over to look at your phone or something. So when the boundaries aren't there, and there's a lot of other ways to get information.
Right.
You might be saying, well, I need to check my phone because it's related to this task I have tomorrow.
Yeah.
But our energies start to get, I'm going to say, dissipated, spread around.
Yeah.
So I know I need boundaries because of my own style of personality, the way I work, how distracted I get.
Right.
So I would love to know what you think. We're co-workers, Campbell, and I would love to know what you experience at work.
Oh, no, I'm very much the same. And it's not saying that there's anything wrong with our company, because there isn't. It's just my personality. I am very much like you, Rhonda, a very free spirit, very creative.
Yes.
I feel like we're both very creative.
We are.
And because of that, it's a gift. But it can also be a weakness because we are so creative. Our minds flow and we don't have someone to rein us in, right? It can sometimes, we can easily get distracted. You know, sometimes I actually wonder, I don't think I do, but sometimes I wonder if I have ADHD.
I wonder about that for myself.
another
helpful
sense,
category.
Right? Another thing of just like, what's that? You know, and you kind of like go down a whole other rabbit hole and you just kind of get distracted for a while, right? And I often think about how I clean the house. I think I have such a hard time cleaning the house because I'm cleaning one area and then, I have to put that, you know, someplace else.
Right.
And then when I bring that thing over to that other place, I realize, there's something over there that needs to be taken care of. And I start working over there.
Yes.
And I haven't finished what I was starting with early. So,
you sound like you've been visiting my house. That's the way I clean. I say, really, it is getting better. But even though, I think it's really good in understanding ourselves. And you've often said the way God made us, I think that's important. We all have really amazing ways of thinking and acting. But when we come together as a team, as co-workers, how do we work effectively and still keep each other energized?
Right. Yeah. And I think what we were talking about yesterday is, you know, there was a trend for a while where it was about freedom. Work was all about freedom. You know, you work when you want, you have flexible hours, asynchronous communication channels, meaning that, you know, I'm not going to call you, I'm just going to text you, I'm going to email you, you respond when you can. And this was all supposed to give us more creativity. It was supposed to empower us. It was supposed to help us to feel more connected. But it actually caused the opposite, right? It caused people to start feeling stressed. It started to cause people to feel burnout. They had a hard time because they didn't know when they could shut off, when they could be not work. They feel like they had to be on all the time. And then this idea of constantly working but not actually feeling like you're accomplishing anything or not feeling like you're actually making a difference or making progress. So boundaries and knowing when you can work and when you're expected to work, when you can turn off, and knowing when deadlines are and what the standards are, those things help people to work better, right? And as we ended yesterday talking about, you know, being able to reinvigorate the energy in the office and improve the morale and allowing creativity to reemerge. All right. So how do we actually set up these boundaries and how do we implement them in our day-to-day lives? Let's read our article and find out.
How to build healthy boundaries. Before you can communicate boundaries to others, you need to define them for yourself. What lines can't be crossed? Whether that's after-hours communication, personal ethics, or feedback norms. Clarity starts within, then becomes a shared agreement. Articulate your boundaries early. Don't assume others know. Share them out loud and revisit them when your context shifts. Setting boundaries isn't a one-time conversation. It's a leadership habit that evolves alongside your role and relationships. Leave room for a buffer. Not every line is absolute. Build a pause zone for conversation and recalibration. This could mean committing to a 30-minute delay before responding to non-urgent messages or setting up clear blocks in the week for focused work versus collaborative time. A boundary that protects your time but violates your purpose won't hold. Make sure your boundaries serve your bigger why. The most sustainable boundaries are those that feel not only practical, but deeply principled.
So boundaries are good. We want to establish boundaries, but how do we do that? Well, it starts off saying, before you can communicate boundaries to others, what do you need to do, Rhonda?
You need to define them for yourself. What do you feel that you need and is right versus wrong?
Yeah.
It goes on, what lines can't be crossed? We often say that, like, hey, this is a line you can't cross, meaning it would be wrong or inappropriate or hurtful in some way for you to do this action or me. What lines can't be crossed? And here's some examples. After hours communication, personal ethics, right and wrong beliefs, or feedback norms. Help me with that last part.
Okay. Feedback norms here talks about just how do I want to receive feedback?
I see. Yes.
Right? Whether I want you to be very direct or I want you to kind of be a little bit kinder, right?
Right. I want you to tell me first.
Yes.
Before you tell other people what you think of me. I think that's an example of a feedback norm. In our company, sorry, I'm getting excited, like, because I know that gossip is easy to fall into, but maybe an example of a feedback norm that's I want to define for myself is, I want you, Campbell, to come to me
directly
before you go tell someone else how I did.
Yes.
I like that idea. And I'm sure you would do that because you're a great guy.
But Yeah, and also, you know, how often do we have evaluations, right, and things like that,
you
know? So what are your lines? What are your boundaries, you know, after hours? Meaning, you know, I'm not in the office. Am I allowing people to communicate with me, you know? Are people expecting me to respond to them after hours, okay? Personal ethics, right? What are certain things that I will not compromise on? What are certain rules or morals that I will not compromise on? Clarity starts within. You must first understand what your boundaries are before you can then discuss it with other people and then come to this shared agreement. Okay? And here's the key. You want to articulate your boundaries early. You want to let people know early on what the expectations are. You don't want to be, you know, in a company for years before you start bringing it up and it's like, where's this coming from? Okay? And you don't want to assume that others know. And I think that's a lot of times what people do is, well, why would they call me after hours? Don't they know I'm off? Well, you can't just assume that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you want to share them out loud, but you don't just share them once.
Yes, it says you revisit them. See the word visit there. Revisit them just means consider it again when your context shifts. That's interesting. Context shifts. That's kind of moves. I think that's important because I don't want to just give you a rule for how to communicate with me.
Right.
You know, and then 6 months later, I'm like, why don't I hear from Campbell?
Yeah.
And you didn't understand that I have some different needs.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, if I'm single, I might be okay with after-hour communications. But then once I get married, I have kids, I'm not going to want after-hour communications, right? It might the context, right, shifts. Okay. Now, so setting boundaries isn't a one-time conversation. I love this phrase. It's
yes.
a leadership habit, right? So it's something that we must do on a consistent basis, and it evolves alongside your role and relationships. So you as a lower-level employee versus you as a manager, you might mm-hmm. have different boundaries.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. All right. And this next section here, leave room for a buffer. What are we referring to here? What's a buffer?
I think of it as like a piece of paper has a margin mm-hmm. where you don't write anything in. Or you a buffer.
Right.
I think a buffer literally is like a padding.
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't bump into something.
Right. Yeah. And it says not every line is absolute. So you set the boundaries, but we have this phrase in English. There's a little bit of wiggle room.
A little bit of wiggle room. That's right.
Yeah, a little bit of wiggle room. A little room to, you know, adjust as needed. Okay. So for example, rather than just saying, if this isn't important, I'm not going to respond to this email. Period, flat, that's the set rule, right? You want to build a pause zone for conversation and recalibration. This could mean committing to a 30-minute delay before responding to non-urgent messages. So again, not saying like I'm never responding, but give me a little bit of time.
Yes. Right. I had to really think that one through, a pause zone. Mm-hmm. I think the author's sort of making up that phrase, which is why it's in quote marks. You might not be understood if you just went out with that in English, but here, quote unquote, my idea, she says, the author's saying, pause zone for conversation and recalibration. Tell me, to calibrate something is to line it up, right?
Right, to set certain standards, right? So recalibration, meaning adjusting, right?
Okay.
So maybe I set my boundaries, but then I'm like, okay, well, this isn't really working, so maybe I can adjust my boundaries a little bit. Yeah. So the 30-minute delay or setting up clear blocks in the week for focused work versus collaborative time. So this is my time to do my work versus having a bunch of meetings,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This next section is interesting. A boundary that protects your time but violates your purpose won't hold. So I actually had to really process and study this section. Do you have any thoughts about what this section is talking about?
I also had to think about it. The last word in this paragraph, principled, we'll get to it, but what are the principles? What are the true things, the values underneath it all?
Mm.
These are what are important. It's not the boundary. It's not the 30 minutes. That's
right.
the key principle to life, but it's what is my purpose? So a boundary that simply protects your time, gives you 5 extra minutes, might not help you keep your value of fill in the blank. You know, mm-hmm. my company's job is to help children. Let's mm-hmm. say that's your company's purpose. Well, you wouldn't say, only if people don't take more than 25 minutes of my time.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to set these fixed boundaries, right? Earlier this month, we used a phrase in an article that was spectacle for spectacle's sake, right? So you don't want to do something for the sake of just that thing. So here I feel like you can say, you don't want to set boundaries just for the sake of boundaries.
Yes.
Right? You don't want to set up rules just because you want rules. Like mm-hmm. there needs to be a purpose and it needs to serve your bigger purpose, right? So for example, rather than just setting, like, I don't take meetings before 10 o'clock.
Right. That's an absolute rule.
That's an absolute rule. No, there needs to be a reason for that, right? You need to really understand, okay, maybe if there's an emergency, I can be a little bit flexible with that, right? And also when you set such absolute rules, if it goes against your principle, maybe your heart is, I want to help people. I want to help people succeed. I want my employees to do well. And you're setting that rule, no meetings before 10 o'clock, but this meeting might really help one of your employees succeed, it's going to be a struggle for you, right? So rather than having that fast rule, like no meetings before 10 o'clock, explain why you don't want those meetings, and then you can evaluate, well, maybe sometimes I can take this one meeting if it means that will help that person.
That's beautiful. I love this next sentence. What sustainable boundaries are those that feel practical and principled? They feel not only practical, but deeply principled. Sustainable boundaries, ones that you can keep, that really work, they're sustainable, we can do them. And two nice P words being used. So this is an effective way to say this. Practical, but principled.
Mm-hmm.
It really works, it's practical, and it comes from that valuable, honest, principled place.
Yeah, it comes from a place that connects with your values, right? It comes from a place that connects with what you are hoping to accomplish. Yeah. All right, we have some more to read here. Let's continue with the rest of this article.
Sometimes boundaries need fixing. Resentment, anxiety, and exhaustion are often signs that a boundary has been breached or needs reinforcement. Your emotional patterns are data. Listen to them before they become burnout. Evaluate and evolve. What worked last year may not work now. Boundaries should shift with your life, your leadership, and your team. Revisit them regularly and treat them as a living part of how you work, not a fixed set of rules. Boundaries and connection. Boundaries don't diminish connection. They deepen it because they make it feel safe to be fully present. Start by asking yourself and your team these questions. Where in our work are we overextended, unclear, or always on? What's one boundary you need to set or revisit? Where is so-called freedom creating confusion? In work cultures without boundaries, people don't thrive. They scatter and self-protect, and eventually they burn out. But when leaders and teams get clear on their edges, on what's okay and what's not, they build something far more powerful: trust, clarity, creative energy, and a deeper sense of shared purpose.
So as we've been saying, sometimes boundaries need to be adjusted. They cannot be set in stone. They need to be flexible. You might need to fix it. You need to adjust sometimes. All right. So how do you know when you need to adjust? Well, this first sentence says that resentment, anxiety, and exhaustion are often signs of what?
That a boundary has been breached or needs reinforcement.
What does that mean?
Yeah, broken. A broken law, rule, agreement. It actually is historically been used for a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Breach the wall. The army crashes through the wall and goes through it. So the boundary being breached, or it needs reinforcement, taking the idea of boundaries in work or relationships and thinking of an actual wall that's a boundary.
Yeah.
Nice language there. You breached our agreement. You breached that law.
We
often say that in English.
Yes. And this next sentence is very interesting. Your emotional patterns are data.
What does that mean? I think I get it, but I feel like you'll be able to explain it really well, Campbell.
Well, I think it goes back to what we were saying, I think yesterday or earlier in this program, is just we're not robots. We have emotions. We have feelings, okay? And as workers or bosses and employees, we need to be aware of how we're feeling. We cannot just ignore those feelings. So the feelings that you have, the emotions that are coming up, whether it's anger, frustration, exhaustion, you need to be aware. Those are symptoms. Those are things that are trying to tell you something. You know, data. It's data that's letting you know, hey, something's off. You need to pay attention. Listen to them before they become burnout. And we use this word burnout very, very often in this article. Just the sense of just depression and lack of motivation and just not wanting to get anything done.
Sure. And it's the emotional patterns that can become burnout.
Right.
That's how that sentence works.
Yeah.
So I think you've described it really well. I think saying they are data, for me, as an older generation, that was kind of slang sounding. That's why I wanted you to explain it. That's data.
Right. So what do we do? Well, we want to evaluate and we want to evolve. So you want to take note of your emotions and then you want to evaluate, okay, well, where are my boundaries maybe being breached? And then evolve. You want to change and you want to improve. So what worked last year may not work now. So as we talked about earlier, context, right? Your context might shift, all right? And boundaries should shift with your life, your leadership, and your team. And it must become, as we said earlier, a leadership habit because it is something you must revisit regularly and treat them as a, this is an interesting phrase, living part of how you work, not a fixed set of rules. What does that speak to you?
It's saying boundaries aren't just something I wrote on a piece of paper, but it actually is the active way that I work.
Right. They're alive, right? They change. And just like humans, we change and we grow and we improve, right? They're a living part. They're not just inanimate, okay? They're not fixed. As we said earlier, they're not set in stone, right? All right. So there is an interesting link between boundaries and connection. How do boundaries affect connection?
They don't diminish connection. They don't make it less. They deepen it. We're talking about relationships between people.
Yeah.
This use of connection means connection with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries deepen connection because they make it safe to be fully present.
Right. You get to just be yourself. You know that you can, you know where the boundaries are. You know what the rules are, right? I think what I often think about is if you're in a relationship and the person, you never know when they're going to be angry. You never know what's going to set them off. You're always going to be in the, what we say, walking on eggshells. Right? Have you ever been in a relationship like that where you just feel like, I don't know when this person is going to blow up or get mad and you don't know what the rules are? But when you do know the rules, you know where the boundaries are, then you know, okay, well, as long as I'm following the rules, then we can be free. We can be open in our friendship, in our relationship, in our, you know, as coworkers. And I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to make my boss angry or I'm going to disappoint or I'm going to get fired, right? And here's some advice in this article. It says, start by asking yourself and your team these questions. Where in our work are we overextended, unclear, or always on? Meaning, where might we be overworking ourselves? Where might we be doing too much? Okay. What's one boundary you need to set or revisit? Again, we were talking about this idea of if you're starting to feel some feelings of anger, frustration, maybe there's some boundaries that need to be discussed. Okay. Where is so-called freedom creating confusion? Maybe it's the idea of the flexible work hours or the hybrid schedules. Maybe that's causing conflict.
Remember the word chaos?
Yes.
From the other day?
Yeah.
So that would be an example of a way to talk about confusion, just chaos at work.
Yeah. And in summary, it says here, in work cultures without boundaries, people don't thrive. So we always want to create an environment where workers are thriving. There's creativity, there's energy, there's growth happening. But if there are no boundaries, that can't happen, right? I think of families. When children don't have boundaries, they do not thrive, right? And how do people react when there are no boundaries? It says here, they scatter and
self-protect. Mm. So they separate from each other and they only care about keeping themselves safe. And eventually they burn out.
Yeah. But I love this. When leaders and teams get clear on their edges.
That's kind of slang. Tell me about that one, Campbell.
Clear on their edges. Again, we're talking about the boundaries, right? Where are the edges? Where are the boundaries? Okay. Where are the lines that we do not cross? What's okay and what's not okay. So it's okay for you to be off, to not answer phones after work, right? It's okay. What's not okay is if you're meant to be in the office, you're not there, right? So what is okay? What's not okay? They build something far more powerful. And what is that?
Trust, clarity, clearness, creative energy, and this is so important, a deeper sense of shared purpose.
Right. And that's so important that we all feel like we're working together towards a common goal. Right. And I hope that that's how you feel about studying English with us, that we're all working together for a common goal of improving your English, but also helping you to learn more about the world and also how you can improve your life and thrive in many ways. Well, thanks for joining us for this very, very interesting article. We look forward to studying further English and more interesting topics with you more in the future. Until then, this is Campbell.
This is Rhonda.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.